And during those 9 days, things have changed every single day.
Wow.
And everybody was like, well, I'm worried about things changing, but don't we need to have it just kind of solidified? And I said, life isn't solidified.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we are letting our students be a part of this process, that's going to be some of the greatest learning that they'll see, is that
yeah.
you start out to do something and inevitably something's going to go wrong. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to hang it up and say, I don't want to do that anymore? Or are you going to say, no, this is a good thing. Let's figure out how we do that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Shane Ogden. Shane is the superintendent at Park County School District number 16, and that's in Meteetse, Wyoming. Shane, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. What a delight to be here.
Awesome. And so we talked a little bit. You've got some amazing things going on where you are.
Boy, we really do. It's such a great place to be. And truly, I think it's probably one of the hardest times ever in education. Mm. And at the same time, it's the most rewarding. We're really at that cuspice of being able to leave educating kids for our past and educating them now for their future. And that's a future that we don't even know. And so excited about the prospects of being able to build an education system that is student-centered, student-focused, and providing students with a voice in their own education. That's one of the greatest things that I think our teachers here at Meteetse School is really building, is they're building a structure where kids not only have say and voice in their education, but they're also developing ownership of their education.
That's really, really great. It's necessary, right?
Totally. Yeah. As we start to think that we don't know what jobs are going to look like next year, let alone, in 14 years when students are graduating from pre-K, that we've got to really start focusing in on skills rather than content.
And that's flipping education on its head. It really is.
It's tough. There's a lot of mindsets. And we were just talking today with some other educational leaders here in Wyoming. And so many of today's educators, and much more so yesterday's educators, became educators because we figured out the education system.
Mm-hmm.
We thrived in it. And now we're asking those very people who thrived in a traditional setting to start thinking outside the box, or if we have to stay inside the box, let's at least explore every nook and cranny of it and every corner to make education what it really should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a different box. It's not even the same box anymore, right?
That's so true.
Yeah. And change is hard for people, and I think that the older that we are, the harder, but kudos to you because you've recognized it. I'm going to be 58 next month. And I'm like, where did that go?
Right.
And yet here I am, I run a tech company. My kids and my husband love to tease me that of all the people that are the least technical in our family, I'm the one who's the CEO. Well, I'm the speech therapist and I'm the one that God gave the vision to. So there you go.
Right. I love it. Yeah, it truly is. It is a different box.
Yeah.
And when we start thinking about it, one of the things that we have just implemented, we're on week 3 of being a project-based learning school.
Uh-huh.
And oftentimes we'll have people say, so is that just your elective courses that you're kind of going project-based? And we're like, no, we're 100% on board. And where that all generated was our school board, go back to 2017. And they were already listening to industry leaders that said, we don't care if kids have calculus. We don't care if kids understand Shakespeare or not, or any dead white guy, because that's what we love to teach in English language arts. But what we need is critical thinkers.
Yeah.
We need problem solvers. We need people who can communicate both face-to-face and virtual and through written and spoken word. And we really have lost creativity in our education system. And that's a piece that I think industry is still asking for, is we need to have kids that think also outside of the box, that can create solutions to those big, hairy, audacious problems that we all face in life. And I think that there's no better generation for us to transition to that thinking than today's youth.
Yeah,
I think that they really are going to be the key to our success in the future. And we better stop thinking about things in a traditional way if we want to survive as our own civilization and states and nations.
Yeah, for sure. Kudos to you guys. That's amazing. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, we live in Texas, so SpaceX, and my husband loves to get on X and watch when they're doing a launch, because we literally, we're in Corpus Christi, we're close enough that we can, when it goes up, we can see it. It's out, you know, see the smoke trail or whatever it is from the engines. And he loves to get out there on the back deck and as, because it's live, you know. But the thing that is really neat about it is these people that are talking and commenting and explaining what has happened, they are young people. They are the people, the exact people that you're talking about. These are smart people who are the critical thinkers, and they are so excited about what they're doing. And that is one little sliver of exactly what you're talking about.
For too long, we have, I think in the traditional setting of school, it's always been about routines and procedures. And as a result of that, I'm not surprised that in the United States, the frontal lobe develops slower in our kids than it does in other nations. You know, there's some great brain research out there that talks about that it is slower in the United States than elsewhere. And I think part of that is because we teach kids, this is how you line up to go to lunch. This is the way you have to sit. This is the way you have, and that all starts in our schools. And we have completely destroyed creative genius in our kids by telling them that there's a uniformed way to do everything. And that's where we've got to break those chains. And we've got to say, you know what? God's blessed you to be you. And we need to make sure that we're fostering who you are and who you were made to become. And stop putting barriers in the way of kids by set routines and procedures. And we still get that that's a part of life, and we have to have some of those.
Some of it, yeah, some of it, for sure.
When that's your whole life, starting at age five, you know, and that's what you're getting for 6.5 to 7 hours a day, that's pretty hard to overcome. So that's one of the things that we want to do, is break that chain that has been around kids and not allowing them to express their own creativity.
So take me through the process. You said it started in 2017. What were some of the major milestones for you guys to get to where you are today?
Oh, great question. You know, I think that the biggest milestone that we had actually occurred during COVID. And so, you know, we start talking about all of this in 2017. The board gives us our charge. We get working, and we said, we're going to tackle creativity first. And so we had some great consultants that came in and did some work with our teachers. And really, it was helping teachers to re-find their creativity. You know, because again, we're creatures of habit, and
we've done this a long time. Don't move my cheese. Don't change me. Yeah,
totally. And so, you know, that was our push, and we were getting someplace, and then COVID hit. We're very blessed that we live in Wyoming, because we were only not with kids from mid-March until the end of that school year. And then we had kids back at the beginning of the next school year. Because we're so small, and we were blessed to be in quite a large building for our student population, we didn't have to wear masks all the time, because we could space ourselves and still meet whatever health guidelines we were being given.
Don't get me started.
Me as well.
I'm going to zip it right there. Okay.
Me as well. But still maintaining what we were told we had to in order to have kids in school. We're like,
absolutely.
You know what? No, that's not good. We need to see faces, and we need to. So we didn't say everybody needs to wear masks and stuff like that. But what we found during that time was that we had students that still wanted to wear their masks because that was a protection for them. And it wasn't a health protection. It was an emotional protection.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was for them to hide who they are. And we just said, we have just damaged an entire generation by allowing them to hide behind a mask. And so in that we said, okay, how do we change that for Meetetse? You know, and so we dug back into the creativity side and we said, okay, we're the smartest people in our community to solve this problem, right?
Right.
Because there's brilliant people everywhere, but in your community, whoever's working on that has to be the smartest people on that idea. So we kind of just said, what is it that we need to be doing? And that's when we really started to think about student-centered practices. What does it look like to have students become a part of who we are, of our curriculum selection, of assessment? And it was really kind of just mind-blowing at first for everybody to go through that process and start to think about, well, what does that look like? What would that mean to me? What do I have to change as a teacher?
There's a big difference between being supported by somebody who's walked in your shoes and someone who hasn't. At Lighthouse Therapy, our leadership team is made up of experienced clinicians who've actually worked in schools. We understand the pressure you're under and what real support looks like. That's why our therapy solutions, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person, are built with you in mind. No complicated systems or red tape, just streamlined support and seasoned therapists who are ready to make a difference. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
And we just came back to, there are four key elements that students need. And that's critical thinking, problem solving, creativity, and communication. So let's focus on those. And it started out with us, let's align what we currently do to those characteristics,
right,
or those traits that we're trying to develop. And so we kind of go through that process, and it was very evident that we needed to undergo a culture change as a school. And any type of a culture change has to start with the adults. So we spent probably 2.5 to 3 years just focusing in on making sure that teachers knew that they were the experts. So much of media wants to tell them that they're not. And we wanted to reinforce that. But at the same time, we wanted them to stretch. And we wanted them to say, I may be a content expert, but am I a learning expert? Let's move away from teaching and let's focus on learning. So within that, we did a lot of things to create a climate. We started with climate, you know, making it a place that teachers wanted to be. We were able to, our school board has always been so supportive, and we had to use some attrition of teachers, but we're able to provide some increases in salary over the years that didn't make us completely competitive with our neighbors because we're so small, but brought us closer and accentuated on the positive things. And what happened was the teachers just bought in. And I hate that word, to buy in, you know, really.
But it's important. It's important. There you go.
They took ownership of it, and they were able to say, I'm going to be there for my neighbor. And so that really, I think, was the big turning point for us, is when we established a culture that was one of support of each other as educators. And then we started to dip into, and I can hold my fellow teacher accountable. You know, so if they're doing something that is not student focused, it's okay for me as a teacher to just say, hey, Janet, love you, but this might not be the best thing. And did you think about what that might be doing?
Right.
Or how could you make sure that kids have more of a voice in this instead of just telling them? Mm-hmm. And so that was really our big turning point. From there, what we had the blessing of was all of that. One good thing that came out of COVID was the federal government gave us a lot of money.
Yeah, the ESSER money.
In my opinion, it was too much money and it shouldn't have been given. Uh-huh. But they gave it to us, so we're going to use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And while a lot of people used it to do different things, what we said is we want to use all of that money to increase the capacity and efficacy of our teachers. And so we were sending all of our teachers to national conferences. We were bringing in national speakers. We thought that we needed to build ourselves collectively as a whole through the individuals in order to really become what our kids need us to become. And I think that really helped that culture piece as well, is all of a sudden teachers are feeling like they are recognized as being a professional.
Right.
They recognize that their growth is just as important as everybody else. So that transition of making all of our teachers, and we made every single one of them, the transition of having teachers and paraprofessionals and support staff go and have to become learners, I think shifted their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So now they had to view things from a learner perspective. And when we would get back from those, we'd have those conversations about, what did you learn? How did you learn that? How do we apply that to our kids? So the content that we were getting was fabulous. But more important was that work that we did behind the scenes afterwards to mm-hmm. say, what does it feel like to be a learner? Were you uncomfortable when you heard this? Do our kids feel the same way? So how do we shift that? You know, what is that process? And then through the University of Wyoming, we had an opportunity of sending a cohort of teachers to various schools in around the nation that are doing student-centered practices, whether they're CAP schools or PBL schools and other schools. And I give a shout out to Wildlands School. It's a charter school. And we ended up sending all of our secondary staff there to spend a day with them. We also looked at the STEM Tesla School in Washington State, and just tried to bring all the best things that we were seeing from around the nation and said, what they're doing is right for them, but it's not right for us. So how do we tailor ours?
Yeah. Make it fit your community.
Yeah. And I think for me, I would say the biggest success that I've ever had as a school leader, as a district leader, was we empowered our teachers to build it.
Nice.
So we said, you know what? Here's the scaffolding. Here's the non-negotiable things. Here's the box
right
now you have to stay in.
So
as the teachers are bringing back all of these amazing ideas, we had to say, how does this fit Metizi? How do we build this to become our own? So we set up that scaffolding and said, these are the non-negotiables. Now you guys build it. And so starting about November of 2024, our teachers started collaborating using their professional learning community time to develop a system that would be truly student-centered. And what they decided was it was going to be a project-based learning model. It made sense for us to incorporate nature and community and all the things that we feel like we could do through project-based learning. The other thing that led us towards project-based learning is, for a long time, ever since I've been here, we've been advocating that the state test, although the state says we have to take it, there has never been a student who has received a scholarship or a job offer or anything else from how well they did on a one-day state test.
Right.
And so we still want our kids to excel and do well on that, which traditionally mm-hmm. we really have. But at the same time, it's the skills that get them there that's the important part. It's not the mm-hmm. content.
Right.
And so they're like, well, that makes sense. If that's our philosophy and we're worried more about kids building these skills that we've been talking about, then we need to create our progression skills based around those skills and then find out how do we support those skills with our curriculum. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that really switched in thinking, is because usually we take our curriculum and how are we going to assess it, or how are we going to do this? No, let's talk about projects and how do we fit curriculum within those projects. And now what it develops is a system that is cross-curricular. So a kid doesn't have to do a project for every class. They might be doing one big project at towards the end of the semester that incorporates four or five of their classes, and you know, alleviate some of that stress and anxiety that our kids are experiencing and facing. So, yeah. Again, we're just at the beginning stages. We did 3 weeks of piloting this at the end of the school year. We learned a lot from that, spent a lot of time over the summer developing how we would roll it out. And it has only been rolled out. I think we counted we're on day number 9 of actually having school this year. And during those 9 days, things have changed every single day.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, everybody was like, well, I'm worried about things changing. But don't we need to have it just kind of solidified? And I said, life isn't solidified. Mm-hmm. And as long as we are letting our students be a part of this process, that's going to be some of the greatest learning that they'll see, is that you start out to do something and inevitably something's going to go wrong. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to hang it up and say, I don't want to do that anymore? Or are you going to say, no, this is a good thing. Let's figure out how we do that. And so that's kind of been the most rewarding thing over the last 9 days, is having our students provide feedback and having them see that the feedback and suggestions that they are giving are being listened to and are actually changing our entire structure.
Wow. Wow. And so people know, because this is probably going to come out sometime in November. It is only September 9th. So it hasn't been 9 days in November that they've been doing this. They started this at the beginning of the school year. And wow, fantastic. I'm so excited for you guys. I'm excited for your kids, for your students. And for, I was thinking, you know, part of what we did, I my kids went to traditional school for a while. I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. We homeschooled for 8 years. And what you're talking about is, it's some of what the homeschool model has become, is educating the child, not just, you know, putting them into this box, figuring out activities and doing things. I mean, anything out there, it can be a lesson for a child. And when you have really smart people like you have that are taking those teachable moments, because there's so many teachable moments in whatever activity you're doing. I always tell people as a speech therapist, give me a topic. I can do a language lesson on it, because language is such a huge part of everything that we do. I don't have to have a particular, but I've been doing it for 31 years too. I mean, you know, so it's not, I didn't start out that way, but you know, you can take whatever is happening and make it a lesson in critical thinking and executive function and, you know, comprehension and retention and all of those things. And just, you know, but you have to think outside of, I don't need to check out all these boxes. You know, people would say, you know, well, gosh, you spent the whole time just talking to them. I was like, yeah, you know how much we got done in that time in the conversation. This child did something that they'd never done before, but you're cueing in on it, right? Because you know, I knew as a therapist where I wanted that child to go. So it's going to be a beautiful, I'm excited for you guys. I really am.
Thank you. There's great things that happen in homeschools. There's great things that happen in charter schools and in private schools. And we just happen to be in the perfect spot at the perfect time to say we can embrace all of those different pedagogies and thoughts to say, let's make schooling about kids.
Yeah. All right. The last part of our mission statement is for the betterment of students, bottom line. Yeah. Everything that we do is for the betterment of students.
Well, you have to, right? Otherwise, you're just, you're never going to grow and you're never going to become what you should become. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to be open about that and have conversations with people that are like, hey, one thing that we're getting better at is as we hear third hand that so-and-so said something downtown, mind you that Metiz is only 1 square mile. So downtown's pretty relative. Yeah. But pick up the phone and have a conversation, you know? And so that's really kind of our thought was let's make sure that we are just having that communication. And so the other piece is that we need to tell the story. And so we're going to be working on a media campaign all done internally. We can show what this looks like. So those that have questions, the other thing is we've always been a very open, school, an open, campus. So we're inviting people in, come in and see what's happening. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Come and watch what happens.
And
see what that looks like. And of course we worry about all the safety procedures. And so we just go through those that we have in our policy to make sure. But at the same time, we want people to come in and see.
I get it. And PBL is project-based learning, just so we're clear, right?
Correct. Yeah. Project-based learning.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. So Shane, where do people come to learn about what your guys are doing and to follow this process?
Yes. So our website, we try to keep that. We've got a big Y Metiz at the top of our website, and that's where we direct a lot of people to go. Our website is PCSD16.com for Park County School District 16.com.
At least they don't have to know how to spell Metiz.
That's right. Which is really easy when you think you've used
it is me.
E's,
there's
you have to add a couple more E's.
Yeah, and just extra E's in there. So I'm just going to say it now. M-E-E-T-E-E-T-S-E.
Correct.
Yeah. Wyoming. And that's because I was looking at it, not because I knew how to spell it.
It actually means where the chiefs meet and there's some great history in the area. And I'm like, our kids need to know that. So
absolutely.
That's the other thing that opens things up and allows us to do that. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. And for the first time ever, I have a TikTok account just so that we can post videos, and we're on X and we've got a YouTube channel. So we use all of those venues. And if you look up Metiz or PCSD16, usually that will lead you right to them.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Shane. I love it. I love what you guys are doing. I'm excited for you and for the future for your kids. It's definitely bright.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for being on Brighter Together, because we're brighter together, right?
Thank you for the invitation. It really is so amazing. We have the Brighter Together just fits so well because we have a group of students that we've been using as a cohort to facilitate a lot of the work that we've done over the last 2 years. And they are going to go and present at the Aurora Institute Symposium in October. It's now the full scale symposium. Wow. And they do it all themselves. So there's not a single adult that will say a word during their presentation. And it's all hands-on learning for adults and students that attend. When we talk about those successes, that's a part of it, is now our kids are getting exposure nationally.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Shane, thank you so much. And I wish you guys the best and would love to hear as it progresses how it's going from you, for sure.
We would love to share. So,
okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.